All right, you and I are going to sit down for a nice little talk like two other guys did today. First, hit us with the beats.
The parallels between Doug Norrie and myself and one Draymond Green and Kevin Durant could not be any further apart. But they had an incredible conversation. You get a lot of insights about the Golden State Warriors' time, why Kevin Durant moved on, and just really perspectives on how these athletes view themselves and the difficulties for maybe everyone else to navigate the waters of being in the NBA and working your game without being impacted by all that, we'll call it chatter and noise that doesn't seem to matter to them so much. It only seems to matter to us on the outside looking in, Doug.
Oh, buddy, we're going to get into all of that. But first, the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team, the Brooklyn Nets, every single day. I'm Adam Armbrecht, hosting here and also covering the New York Football Giants on the One Giant podcast with my boy Andy Mack. Over there, you know the man, the myth, the legend, giving you your DFS daily dose for all those fantasy needs. It's Doug Norrie, owner and operator of DFSR. How are we, sir, on a Thursday where the news cycle brought an incredibly interesting conversation between two former teammates?
I look forward to the day where you and I sit down, or maybe you sit down with someone else, or I sit down with someone else, and we just get the opportunity to completely chuck some group. Or actually, the better thing would be I sit down with someone else and I just throw you under the bus in an interview. And then the person's like, "You still work with Adam on Locked On Nets, right?" You're like, "Yeah, totally, totally." But I'm just gonna trash him here also, because the KD Draymond sit down. You're gonna describe it for anyone that didn't see it, but the KD Draymond sit down did have me at one point like actively think, Draymond Green still plays with the Warriors, right?
Well, and the best part about it is we'll get into it in a second, but that sense of the conversation of Draymond Green is also like, man, my man Dre is a confident dude. Like, he is not concerned about like, it's like, hey, you know, this goes out to everybody, right? No, yeah, that's cool. I get it. It's totally fine. So for anyone that didn't get to catch the conversation, Draymond Green hosts Chips with Draymond Green. It's on the Bleacher Report YouTube channel. You can go check it out. It dropped on Wednesday, I think at noon. And it's about a little 20-minute conversation, Draymond Green interviewing Kevin Durant. And if you think about where these two guys, at least perceptually, were in their relationships after Kevin Durant's time in Golden State, you might not think this was a possibility. And yet, through the conversation, I think we come to some realities that you and I, Doug, have talked about on this show regarding Kyrie Irving and how the media and their relationship, what Kyrie is as an individual versus a basketball player, the personality of Kevin Durant, what he thinks is important in his life. And that's a lot of what they get into here. The big piece, to say the starting point, is the conversation and the narrative around Kevin Durant, his time in Golden State, and what was perceived as being the end point. And that's the argument between him and Draymond Green in the Clippers series. And Draymond puts it to Kevin Durant: do you think that that was the reason? Was that the reason that you left? And Katie says no. Matter of fact, he says no. But the inciting forces and what happened behind the scenes was fascinating.
Draymond did a great job, because if you didn't watch this video, you can actually just probably you can pull out this clip. There's like a 4-minute clip of just this line of questioning. If you don't want to watch the whole thing, if you're going to watch any part of it, just get the clip where they talk about the fight, because that is probably the most instructive. And I have other thoughts, and I think we both do, about just the media and, you know, storytelling and all this other stuff, which we'll get to later. But Draymond opens it up really humbly, and he says, I'm going to paraphrase. He says something along the lines of, I really can't live with myself. I just need to know for myself, you know, so I can sleep at night, basically. Was that fight the reason you left the Warriors? Basically, because if it was, like, I think Draymond would have felt terrible. Because Draymond actually
said, by the way, just a tragic turn if KD goes, yep.
Well, yeah, and he didn't. But Draymond says he's like basically because I've been getting killed ever since you left, right? Like,
yeah.
So and he's like they've basically lost. You know, they've lost two seasons or they've basically stunk. And they almost made the playoffs last year. They've been pretty not great, good for 2 years. And I think people probably started to turn on him. Now, not really totally turn on him, but anyway. So and Katie says no, that wasn't the reason, but it's what happens next that I was referring to at the beginning, referring to the beginning about what Draymond says and what they both agree on was the reason, like who screwed up the fight, because they both agree that them fighting with each other on the court, or they weren't fighting, they were arguing on the court with each other, it wasn't either of their fault that happened. It was, I guess there's only to say, they basically used Bob Myers and Steve Kerr and the whole organization as the, they're like, it was their fault that this whole thing got screwed up. And that's what I was like, Draymond's got to walk back over there and be like, hey, Steve, hey, Bob, I'm back for training camp. Like, well, let's get started. Because like, he basically just killed, they both just sit there for the next couple of minutes and just kill the organization.
Yeah, essentially what Draymond lays out, and as you say, KD confirms it, is Bob and Steve, they get behind closed doors with Draymond, and they basically say, hey, listen, you got to apologize to KD and make this right. Like, you don't want to rock the boat here. And Draymond, I mean, listen, to your point about what is your status with the team, because he says he laughed in their faces when they brought up this idea and said, this is for, we can solve this, KD and me. Nobody else is going to solve this thing. And KD added into that the idea of when they're covering the media and they're asking Coach Kerr questions about it and he's acting like nothing's happened and it's not a thing. That also, for both of these players, was like, it isn't that big of a deal that we got into an argument. And the fact that you're somehow trying to avoid this conversation or sweep it under the rug and then have these backroom discussions with us makes it seem that much more absurd. So Draymond laughs them off, says, I'm not going to do that. They bring him back the next morning, and he says, no, that's still not going to be the case. And for KD, that was more the thing that he took a step back and said, I don't want to be a part of this. And we talk about the organizations and experiences and how players feel about the different spots that they're in. This was an indication for Kevin Durant that, hey, there's some level of we're not being respected if you think you need to step in here and manage these circumstances and not just let us hash this S out, keep the explicit tag clean, and move on from it. You're not allowing us to do that. You're trying to, you know, kid glove handle us, and that's, it just feels disrespectful for everybody involved.
Yeah, and they both kind of agreed that that was the case with it. And, you know, whether, look, it wasn't, there was speculation.
Two dudes in a room. I'll tell you whose fault it was. Somebody that isn't here.
Definitely. Well, it had that. Again, it's just, I'm still laughing about it because Draymond's thing is just so, it's so funny. Like he's just it's supreme confidence, and that's that. There's no doubt about that. But it wasn't like at that point in the season, it was a total bombshell to think about KD leaving. That was already very much on the table leading up to that. So I think that everything he said is true, 100%. I think that this was probably, there was some writing on the wall with this stuff also with him at that point. So it was easier to not, like, it was easier to probably be mad about it as well, which is also fine, right? Like, you can have other organizational things that were bothering you, and you felt like maybe this was the culmination of a lot of different things that you already had bad feelings about, or this was the kind of the case that proved the rule about what you'd already thought about where the organization was and their respect for you or whatever it was. So I think that they both blame the organization for not handling it correctly, for maybe not handling it like their competitors, and that they're going to be able to work it out. And I think from Durant's point of view, he very much kind of probably saw, oh, right, this just kind of solidifies the things that I've been thinking about already in this situation. And from that point of view, it made it easier at that point to step away, because that was like, okay, well, this is the straw that broke the camel's back. But the camel's back had been breaking probably for a little while already.
Yeah, this is the, oh, okay, I thought and now I've confirmed. And you don't know what the experience is going to look like. We had just talked about this the other day about Kevin Durant on the extension and that piece around. You start out in OKC where you're drafted. Then you move on to Golden State. It's your choice because you want to check some boxes, win some championships, but it doesn't mean it's going to be your final destination. So, you know, to that extent, the idea that one argument with Draymond Green was going to be the thing that stopped Kevin Durant from staying with Golden State. If anything, I think we kind of know Golden State might have gone ahead and shook some things up if necessary, if that's what Kevin Durant wanted. Instead, he made his choice I consider myself in the same ilk as Kevin Durant, that he was going to move on. And this was just one more little coin in the bucket to say, yep, these are some things that I have concerns around, and this isn't going to be the place that I want to have a re-up and spend 4, 5, 6, 7 years with potentially as I work my way through the prime of my career, by the way. The one thing I will say is, back on that Draymond Green piece, in that moment when he poses the question about, was this my fault? I know there's this world where he was about to be drenched in sweat if the answer did not come back the right way. And I just wondered if there's got to be something that he could have done in that moment to save himself from maybe a little bit of embarrassment in front of one of the best players in basketball that he's fearing he's run out of town.
I got to think, I don't think Draymond Green probably worries about sweat too much. Based on what he was saying, I don't think actually he's got to be worried about sitting down in sweat. I think a lot of us in that situation would have been thinking, oh man, did I wear the right shirt? That is where Sweat Block can jump in and help you. Look, if you've been in a high-pressure situation, or maybe it's just not even high-pressure situation, it's just any pressure situation, and that sweat starts creeping in, it can be super embarrassing. You're kind of picking out shirts to make sure it doesn't show. I personally have gone through this. I don't know what I would have been like sitting there on chips being asked some of these questions. I know I would have used Sweat Block ahead of time for sure. Sweat Block is stronger and more effective than most clinical antiperspirants. You simply put it on at night before you go to bed. The next morning you wake up, wash, go about your day without worrying about sweat. Guaranteed, I've used this stuff. Believe me, folks, I dealt with it. Had it happen, use Sweat Block. This stuff works. You're just not worrying about it anymore. You're not changing shirts out. You're not pitting out. This is the stuff you got to start using. It sounds too good to be true. Been using Sweat Block here, and all you got to do is use it once or twice a week, and it's going to keep you dry the whole time. If you or someone you love is dealing with this, you got to check out Sweat Block. Get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com with promo code LOCKEDON, or at Amazon and CVS. Sweatblock.com, 20% off with the promo code LOCKEDON, sweatblock.com.
And maybe Draymond wasn't sweating, and I'm sure he wasn't stressing, but I personally, and you, may be dealing with some stresses of day-to-day life that weigh on your body. And whether you're an elite athlete like Draymond Green, or just me, a guy trying to make it through the day tension-free, you gotta try Theragun, because it can help you. Theragun is the handheld percussive therapy device that releases your body's deepest muscle tension using a scientifically calibrated combo of depth, speed, and power, and it's as quiet as an electric toothbrush. Whether you want to treat your muscle tension from a workout or maybe an injury, a little nagging injury from walking up the stairs too fast potentially, not necessarily sprinting up and down the court like an NBA player, just the stresses of everyday life. There's no substitute for the Theragun Gen 4. You can try the Theragun for 30 days starting at only $199. Go to therabody.com/lockedon right now and get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's therabody.com/lockedon, therabody.com/lockedon. So then inside of this conversation, there's that piece of it specifically around what went on in Golden State, and that was the most fascinating. I mean, just seeing these two guys having that kind of conversation was fascinating. The other piece, though, around these guys talking and some of the questions that Draymond posed towards KD was also around how people look at Kevin Durant and the way that the media perceives him, and that he's become, you know, a little cantankerous over the years. He used to be this young kid that was loving it and seemed so happy to be playing basketball, and now it comes off like it's such a chore to be a part of the NBA. But one of the things he mentioned about the time in Golden State was the year when he started to shut down a little bit more from the media, and we'll get into a little more details of his perspective on it. He said that was one of the happiest times playing the game, because he knew exactly what was expected of him. He knew that he had a very defined role with that team, and he got to lock in and go out and do it. And Draymond talked about how KD does not do anything at half speed. He does everything in practice, full rep, full go, because that's his mind, that's his mentality. So even that little tidbit leading into it was very interesting of like, yeah, we all think, is KD still having a good time? And in the interview, he's like, that was some of my favorite, that was the, one of the favorite times of my life. Like, I was having such a good time being so obsessed with the sport of basketball. I'm shocked that you all on the outside looking in thought something different.
Well, I think if you're the Warriors' perspective, too, you're probably worried because you know how good he is and you know that losing him is going to be bad, right? So I think there's partly, yes. I think there's part of it where you probably are just, it's like when you're in a relationship with someone and they're just maybe in a bad mood and you just are constantly asking, you know, are you okay? Are you okay? Which can get annoying in its own right. But it's also because you're worried like, oh man, I hope I didn't do something, or I hope this person hasn't had a change of heart. Because if Kevin Durant has a change of heart about you, it's really just going to be bad for your basketball organization. Like that's, you don't, right. It doesn't matter how you feel about him. It's just going to be bad for you. I think that's part of it. And I think we've seen this from Kevin Durant too, where he's kind of shaking it up with media members. Cause I don't think it's mistrust, although it probably is a little mistrust at this point, but he knows what it's like to be on the receiving end of when you don't give a certain group of the media enough information and they're left to just tell their own story about what they think is going on, right? And yep. it's the bad part of media where when that happens. So, like, media members are a lot of them are writers or they're talkers, right? So, and when you have to write or talk, you just have to fill up a certain amount of time or a certain amount of space in the paper. And sometimes you have a lot of information you can use to do that. And sometimes you have a little bit of information, but the space remains the same. Like, so it doesn't.
So you can't submit the article that says nothing new.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That can't be the entirety.
Yeah.
Of the,
it's just like nothing new. Nothing new happened today. I don't know what to tell you. Tomorrow, maybe a lot's going to happen. And unfortunately, I'm going to have to try to jam it into the same column. Right. But today, there's nothing going on. It doesn't work that way. And so when there's nothing to talk about, you start making. I don't think you make things up. I don't think people aren't making things up whole cloth. But they're going to start telling stories. They're going to fit into whatever's happening. So if you talk less, you're going to start writing stories about why you're talking less and what it means and all this stuff and, you know, who you are as a person and, you know, you're not easy to get along with. Like you said, you're cantankerous or, you know, these things that kind of come along with you. It's a lot of that stems from, hey, we just have an A block and a B block on one of these like ESPN shows and no one wants to hear it, like watch us twiddle our thumbs because there's nothing to talk about, right? It's just, we have to talk about something.
This was that McMullen, right? Jackie McMullen.
Well, I didn't want to say her out loud. She's retired, by the way. And she's one of the greats. I didn't want to say her by name because, I don't know. She's like,
no, in full context of she's still is, but if in retirement, very well respected reporter. And I think the only reason why I say her by name is to support your point of I do have to provide information, context, a story. And there's not necessarily something malicious on the reporter's end to take the conversation, take the questions you're asking of a player. And yeah, you're trying to maybe read a little body language, try to, you know, get a sense of who the individual is relative to how they maybe used to be a couple of seasons ago. And you start to build a narrative around that, not create it from thin air, but as you're seeing it unfold in front of you, you're trying to give context to a game, a season, a series, whatever it may be. So it doesn't make it a malicious thing. But you can understand, like you say, when there's a blank page in front of me and I didn't necessarily get a lot of information, I'm going to extrapolate some of the things that maybe I've been thinking about over the entirety of a given player's career.
100%. And we bring her up because KD called her out specifically and said, I didn't ever talk to her like this, so I don't know what she's talking about. Because when she's had specific, this is why her name comes up specifically now, is because a few weeks ago when she went on another podcast and spoke as if, she spoke in a certain way about, you know, about having insight into Kevin Durant's thought process and leaving Golden State. And he instantly came out and said, would never talk to her like this. He's like, I don't talk like this as a person. I would never have said it to this person. I'm not friends with her. Right. And so that's where this is where this kind of long winding media storytelling piece comes in. And then wrapping it back to around the Draymond and KD piece where he's saying, he's already seeing that this happens even in here in Golden State, right? Because there's already how many stories have been written about him at this point? He leaves right. OKC because he's ring chasing, right? Okay, so he's got to join Steph. He's got to join Steph's team. He's already hearing that this thing, and then he's hearing, well, they'll never love, you know, Kevin Durant the same way they love Steph in Golden State. Okay, he's got to hear this. Now he's got to hear about the fight, or the fights after this other part, right? But he's got to hear about all this other stuff, and all he's doing is probably hearing about it and just being like, well, I haven't said anything except for play. All I've done is play basketball. All I'm doing
out
here
story,
is...
What a story about me I haven't been putting out there.
And we know this. We know this about it. He's got a good media presence, and he's a great talker, and like he's, you know, great at like kind of bringing out sort of how he's feeling. But he's really mostly, if you've seen it lately about how he does it, he mostly does it on his own terms, right? He's doing it on his own media channels. He's doing it in things that are kind of curated for people he wants to talk to, like Draymond and stuff like that. But he was already sort of getting out of the piece of doing it with the national media, and then the national media is going to start spinning stories about you. And we've kind of—I don't want to call him insular because he's not—but he, like you said, he's focused. And his when his focus is all on this one thing, and his focus is not on talking to the media, which he clearly does not like doing, then. But it's not because he's shy. It's just because I think he's, like you said, he thinks it's silly. I think, right? It's a silly venture for him to do it.
And there's a couple of things. They get into some of the players that KD has been on teams with and what that looks like. And there's a perspective from KD there that I think illustrates another. It's kind of driving home this point from a lot of players over the past handful of seasons, especially in the NBA. But he also, Draymond has three kids. He asked KD, why no kids? Or do you want to have kids? And again, this is just KD goes, no, for sure. But if I'm going to invite someone into my life in that capacity, if I'm going to have a kid, if I'm going to have kids, I want to be able to dedicate myself to that. And I don't, for me personally, I don't have the ability. I know I can't dedicate myself to that with the way that I'm dedicating myself to this, to basketball. And so that's where his mind is. That's where his focus is. So to the extent of media conversations and narratives, it probably catches him off guard even more so because he's sitting there going like, dude, like, I know that I'm not even talking about anything. The only thing I'm talking about is like, is my jumper smooth? Am I working the pick and roll game? Am I going to be Apex Predator tonight on the court? Like, I'm not getting into a lot of these other things. So unlike maybe some other players that like to get into dialogues around different things, I think KD probably sees it as, man, there's so few opportunities for you to have this extra information from me. It's almost surprising how often people seem to have thoughts around what I've been saying or doing or thinking.
Oh, 100%. And it's not lost on me that Adam and I are doing the same thing that I was just saying other media members were doing, which is take pieces of information and spin them into a story that makes sense. I think we're doing it on a pro KD side, but I don't want anyone to think that it's lost on us that we're doing something similar. It's just I think we're probably correct in this assessment based on other things and things that he said and things that have happened. But anyway, just wanted to make sure that didn't want anyone to think I had like
little self awareness here. We're aware we're inside of the mechanism to some capacity. We are a part of the machine, even if I think that we do it as genuinely and without inferring anything on behalf of people. And I think that's probably the most important piece, and something that, again, there's a couple more little tidbits from this conversation that really further illustrate that point.
Yeah, for sure. Now, something that is fun to talk about, that's Built Bar. Oh my goodness, the very best tasting protein bar on the market. Point, stop, nothing better. Really, the first time you have one of these things, you're going to wonder what you're doing with those other protein bars out there. All completely covered in chocolate. That's the first thing that's going to throw you off because you're like, wow, these things are actually good for me. Then you look at the flavors, cherry, barcia, salted caramel, orange, cookies and cream, mint, brownie, raspberry. It's all there for you. That's just a little sampling of what Built Bar's got for you. And then you get into the stats, 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. If you order today, you can get it on the Grasshopper Cookie. That's for all you Thin Mint fans out there. Whatever you like, though, Built Bar has got a flavor for everyone on the taste palette. It was even the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Right now, you go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 15% off at Built.com.
And of course, got to remind you that Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. We know that baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all that action right over on Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info on all your favorite sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, and NHL when they get back underway, and even UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or that mobile device in your pocket and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get in on the game as teams continue their deep MLB playoff pushes with championship aspirations. Head on over to the website on your mobile device or that laptop and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts, promo code LOCKEDON. And the last thing, I don't know what, if we did this chronologically as far as the interview went, but the last thing that ties into this theme around Kevin Durant, so much about what we talked about with Kyrie Irving, is Draymond brought up that Kevin Durant has now played with Russell Westbrook. He's played with him, Draymond Green. He's played with Kyrie Irving. He even said now with James Harden in two different stops for James Harden, obviously, and that these are guys that have big personalities and sometimes can go a little bit too far, whether on or off the court. And he even made the joke, you know, Draymond, you are clearly the guy that goes too far. But Draymond asked KD, you know, do you think that any of us ever go too far, really, that there's ever a problem with a personality? And I really thought that the insight that KD gave of, I don't know, knowing them personally, he's gotten to learn their backgrounds a bit. But I don't know everyone's backgrounds. I don't know everyone's experiences, whether on or off the basketball court, growing up. He talked about, you know, how long it took him to get to the place that he did. How long did it take Russell Westbrook to achieve that? Specifically speaking about guards and having to fight through the roles that they want to set certain players into and having to overcome those things. So mentalities and personalities are something essentially that KD goes, yeah, everyone, it's all good. Like, we're all good. We all have to find our way to get to the best version of ourselves, even as basketball players or people. And that's not a problem for him. And it all just, to me, tied into this theme of, for Draymond, for KD, for so many athletes in general, NBA or otherwise, that, hey, yes, we want to be really good at this thing that we do. And also, we have personalities. We have foibles. We have things that we're interested away from basketball, potentially. And those things are okay. It somehow, underneath this media spotlight, becomes that when you are this or that or have a different thought or share a different experience, it's either contributing to positively or taking away negatively from the thing that is basketball. And that's all that everyone else around you seems to care about.
Yes. Yeah, one of the worst things that a lot of media members do is, or actually, no, not even media members, fans. I'm just going to put this out, fans in general, is they try to take their own life and put it and frame it into like what a professional, in this case, a professional basketball player thinks and feels, because that's how they think and feel around their job, you know, as an accountant or, you know, working for, you know, in a warehouse or whatever, right? like they try to take this, the way their brain works, and plant it into an NBA person and be like, well, that's why they're this X, Y, and Z. But there's lots of differences. But one of the main differences, and this is why these beefs between these guys like don't really last, or they're really nothing, or things get blown out of proportion, is because these guys are all the most competitive people in the history of the world. But because they're all the most competitive people in the history of the world, they're able to just kind of, I think, frame competition in a way that allows them to sort of still act fine with each other when it doesn't seem like, when no one else seems like they should be, right? Like, and mm-hmm. that it happens time and time again where they're like, oh, this guy doesn't like this guy. I think these guys are all probably just fine with each other. They actually probably all like each other. I think for the most part, especially guys like Draymond and KD, who probably just both, you know, clearly understand that they're super fierce competitors, and I'm sure that's the first thing that they can bond over. And then if they get in fights with each other or whatever, it's easy to move past, but other people can't really see it for what it is, this ultimate competition. I thought about this recently when, like, something happened with Chris Paul, and they were arguing with, you're going to see where I'm going here in a second. Chris Paul, right, during the end of the season, was talking about, or it came up that LeBron had kind of thrown the season under the bus and was like, oh, they never should have done this. The play-in was silly, all this stuff, right? And his friend, Chris Paul, who's the president of the union, was like, hey, everyone could vote. Remember this where he was like, oh, everyone got an equal vote in this. Like, you can't really, you know, complain yes. about this now. And a lot of people were like, oh, you know, these guys are supposed to be friends. They're not backing each other up. They're like, yeah, they probably are friends. They're both just super competitive guys. So they don't, this doesn't really, they don't care about this. Like, you would care about this if your friend said this to you. Like, because, and you might have trouble getting over it because you're not in constant competition with your friends. But when you are, this is where everyone thinks, this is where it always gets screwed up, right? Because these guys are just ultimate competitors. They're not cantankerous, so they're not like beefing with each other. They don't have this or have that. They just like PJ Tucker. If you watch PJ Tucker and I'm all over the place here, but if you watch PJ Tucker and Kevin Durant play in that series, right, in Milwaukee, you would have thought that these guys were going to fight each other like in the runway between every game, right? Like the way like yeah. PJ, they're just friends. Like they're friends with each other. What? Like this is what people don't seem to understand. This is why, and this is why this stuff always gets blown out of proportion. But why I think NBA players are constantly confused by it when it comes from the media, because they're just like, dude, we're just playing and we're competitive. And this is just what it is. If we were less than this, we wouldn't be the NBA because another more competitive person would have taken our place. I gave a really long and winding yes. thing here. Does that make sense what I'm saying, though? Like,
No, 100%, because the first piece is, as an elite athlete, and this is uniquely true about professional athletes, there is a very much turn-the-page mentality, possession by possession, right? Game by game, series by series. You have to reset your mind and go out there and keep attacking, keep trying to do what you're setting to do. So all these guys have the same personality. Likewise of, when I'm on the court, I want to be competitive, I want to best you. It doesn't mean that when the game's over, I turn around and all of the energy and all of the, I'm going to call it malice, but the inside of the game, it's about that. I hate you for this bucket. I don't hate you for who you are as an individual. And that is the thing that again, at the end of this conversation, when they talked about what KD planned to do after his career, potentially, if he had any thoughts around that, and obviously KD didn't have a lot of thoughts there per se, we said he's about to be 33, and so much of this theme was about growing up, becoming more mature, and you know, you mentioned it there around narratives and reporters putting their lives onto these athletes and saying, this is how I would feel, this is what I would do. And in that regard, I think it offers a little bit of self-reflection of saying, hey, if that's the way you would handle it or you would feel about it, then maybe you do have some growing up and maturing to do. And maybe Kevin Durant has matured and has changed and has figured things out in his life. And sometimes athletes, we hold them inside of this little bubble of, you're this professional person that does this thing that we get to judge and watch and enjoy, not as someone who is evolving over their life, let alone over their career in sports. So maybe I was winding too. You touched on all these great points, but it all does come back into this pool of guys that are high-level apex predator, you know, competitors, and also they can detach much more easily from the game than maybe we can.
Yeah, that's a great way to sum it up. All right, we're going to be back again tomorrow talking about the schedule. Nets are headed back to a big NBA national level stage again. I don't think that's really any surprise. Super exciting. We're going to go through some of the early schedule releases. This is a fun one to talk about, buddy. I think we probably could have gone on with this. I think that this is probably speaks more to about sort of like a level of thinking that, you know, around NBA athletes and around, you know, players in general that people probably, I don't know, that's probably why, you know, and if anything, it's probably why it made it refreshing just to watch two NBA players sit down and talk, right? Because it wasn't canned.
Yes.
And there wasn't anyone that was, it wasn't one, someone didn't go to like Syracuse Communication School and the other one's playing in the NBA, right? Like,
so shout out Syracuse. Andy yeah, Mack alumni.
The best in the business, but there's a reason. There's a reason, like, that, you know, there's one group that goes there and the rest of them are playing in the NBA. All right, we're going to get out of here. Rate and review the podcast wherever you listen. Like and subscribe. It really keeps us the numbers during the offseason. We've both been really pleasantly surprised by how good the numbers look right now. People tuning in to listen to offseason stuff. It's awesome. Next season's going to be great as well. We'll be rolling through it in the entire offseason. You can rate and review the podcast wherever you listen. It really helps.
With all these questions around KD and his game, personal life, he may very well have expressed it by saying, elementary, my dear Watson, Basil Rathbone.
Oh, one of the all-time great poets. We'll be back again tomorrow talking more Rathbone. Brooklyn Nets basketball.